Welcome to the Sober Rebel Bite Size series for January. This episode is no more than 20 minutes, and there will be one a day throughout the month of January. I've been doing this podcast now for nearly 2 years, and in that time I've spoken to so many amazing guests. So I thought it would be a lovely idea this month to revisit some of the highlights of those conversations every day throughout January to keep you focused on why you're doing this. Today's episode is with Ian. In the main episode, Ian talks about kindness, how sobriety has helped him to achieve at work, and how he's having more fun. One of the things that Ian does talk about is his eating disorder that he developed in his 40s. So I want to mention that just in case you find that triggering. It was a beautifully open and honest conversation, and Ian's really open about the fact that he had body dysmorphia that was caused by alcohol, and actually in removing alcohol, he now feels so much better. So let's move on to your second point then.
The second point of sobriety is being more focused at work. A lot of people don't talk about, but it's a big part of your life. You know, you go to work, you're offering your services to your employer. You know, they're paying you X amount of money for you to do a job for them in the day. So instead of turning up hungover and having that Monday morning feeling on a Thursday, is to turn up, be at your desk on time and actually enjoy what you're doing. Take pride in what you're doing. You know, my desk at work is a clear desk. I'm very proud of the fact that I'm, unless something happens traffic wise, I'm never late because I'm up on time. I get to work. You know, everything's ready the night before. You know, so it's being more, just be more dedicated in what you're doing. I mean, it's the being sober means I can turn up and do these things. And because what I do is a lot of numbers, it's all to the Excel spreadsheets with lots of different numbers all the time. And being hungover is just not an option, really. You can't really function. You're only given 50%, it's half empty. So it's just being alert, happier at work, and things will change. Honestly, you know, your relationship with other employees gets better because you're happier when you go in. I'm terrible for oversharing things, and I have to hold, even before I was saying, my wife to go, okay, Ian, I think you've had enough now. It's because I'm passionate about things. The things I'm interested in are very similar to yourself, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's my second one, really, is to be at the top of your game and just be able to function at a much higher level.
Yeah. And you're a manager, aren't you?
I'm a line manager. I haven't got a very big team. I am a manager, but it's something I never really wanted to be. It was just something that happened to come along. And I said, yeah, okay, there you go, you do your best.
And also, when you're doing your best at work, there's nothing more soul-destroying when you know that you're not running at full capacity. It's really, you feel that?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's when you know you're not running as you say, at full capacity. It just sends the wrong signals both ways, one up and down, because you start questioning your own ability, thinking, well, I haven't done that, I've forgotten that, and am I any good at this?
Happiness and contentment and confidence comes from an inner self-esteem, an inner knowing, so that then things can happen around you and they don't affect you as much because things will happen.
And it's also being in a position where if something happens, you can deal with it in a very level-headed way. Just have that pause button, that sort of second delay from your brain to your mouth.
It's like sobriety gives you that buffer, that moment of pause before reaction. You're not volatile. And if you're handling a hangover, you're late, you've already turned up, you're already at that matched boiling point.
Just taking that back step, just think, right, okay, take a back step. Look at everything in its own merit rather than try and tackle it when it's
in the heat of the moment.
Like you say, when you're drinking, I mean, how many times have you checked your emails at night when you shouldn't really be checking them? Because just check that just in case I've had an answer. And there's something that's happened that's rattled you, dug you in the ribs. And you think, right, I'm going to answer that. I go to bed and I get up the next morning and I answer it in the morning. That's what I do now. It just gives me that, okay, I'll read it again when I've calmed down.
Yeah. And never trust a thought after 9 p.m. anyway.
No, especially when you got a glass of wine in your hand.
But you are definitely better at work. There is,
oh yeah,
you know, you're a better employee, you're a better boss, you're a better colleague. You know, I've turned up to work, and when I did work for somebody, I don't do that anymore. But there are times when I was working in teams where we'd be carrying each other almost. You know, we knew that somebody was hanging. I could look across at my colleague and think, yeah, you've had a heavy night. And so I'd carry her for, and vice versa.
Yeah, it's terrible. I mean, how many meetings have you been in where you're sitting near a radiator and it's warm? And you've a bit hungover in the morning, you just think, I just can't stay awake because you went to bed really late.
And it's a really
boring meeting, you know.
Honestly, no, we've all done it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you what I did notice, just changing the subject, is I always thought that, I'm hungover. Now, this is the only, I've thought about this in great detail, and this is the only negative thing I can find for sobriety. The only one thing I've found. People say to me, is it, you know, it's all positive. So I say, yes, it is. That I realise I'm not quite as healthy as I thought I was. I don't get headaches. It's the wine. I don't feel sick. It's because it's the wine. Of course, take that away and I still have the odd headache and I perhaps don't feel 100%. And I can't put it down to anything else than just being, well, you know, being a bit off.
Yeah.
And so that's the only thing. It actually made me realise that I'm not superhuman. There are things that come along. Aches and pains and things. So that's the only negative tide. It makes you very alert to everything in your body. You know, it just makes you realize you can't mask everything with alcohol when it's not there.
No, that's very true. And I've had a few bugs and things. The biggest negative for me is I have to keep changing my picture on my company website. In the last 12 months, my face keeps changing.
Mine, on my lanyard, it shows me, and I'm 3.5 stone lighter. Because I did develop an eating disorder, which was quite severe. It was like, I can't have more than 700 calories a day. I can't, you know, and I was absolutely convinced I was enormous. If anybody feels like they want to, but you can backtrack down my Instagram account. I think it will go back that far. And I was stick thin. I went down to 12 stone 10. And bear in mind, I'm nearly 6 foot tall and quite thick set. And I was not eating. I was telling fibs about where I'd eaten when I hadn't.
And this was something that developed later in life?
Well, no, yeah. I was 46 to 48, 49. I was cycling hard, like doing 40 or 50 miles in the evening and pushing myself to the limit, spin classes, not eating. I mean, the top of my arm, I could get my hand nearly around it. The muscle sort of just disappeared. It was, everything was wrong. I was living on Slim Fast. Other brands are available. I was supposed to have one in the morning, one at lunch, and I was convinced that was too much, so I cut the one out in the morning. I dropped literally 4.5 stone in weight.
Were you drinking as well at that time?
Yeah, I was drinking. Yeah. I sat next to this guy at work when I worked in his team, and he actually said to me, do you know what, Ian, I've worked with you for a year, and I've never seen you eat anything. Ever. Not ever. A sandwich, a crisp. I used to keep my Slim Fast in the car. That was it. And it's just so unhealthy. But that was paranoia. Alcohol, I'm fat, you know, and body dysmorphia. But that was all caused by alcohol.
And now, how do you feel now?
I feel much better. I mean, I'd like to be maybe 0.5 stone lighter, which is my exercise and my walk. And I just am mindful about what I eat. It's completely gone. I mean, I have moments where I'll get a pair of jeans out the cupboard or they've just been washed and you put them on. You think, I think COVID, all my clothes shrank with COVID. But, you know, the lockdown, I was meant not actually COVID. But, yeah, so I feel much, much happier, really happier.
It's such a good topic to discuss because a lot of people that have alcohol dependency or have turned to alcohol. I mean, I had an eating disorder, had bulimia for years and years and years and years. And the one thing that's completely seen any worry about my weight, body dysmorphia, and also calorie counting is quitting drinking. I was 95% sorted, I would say, but still drinking. I was overweight because I'd had a baby at that point, and I was drinking calories. And I was then getting really frustrated that I couldn't lose weight. But what's really seen me, you're the first person I've spoken to that's gone, no, that was absolutely that paranoia, that body dysmorphia.
Absolutely, yeah. It completely overtook my life. I'd get up in the morning, I'd say, I often say to people, Speak to yourself how you speak to other people. I'd look in the mirror and I'd say some horrible things to myself. I'd never say those to anybody.
Yeah.
You know, I would never, ever speak to anybody in the way I spoke to myself. You know, I'd say, oh, you fat bastard. Or, you know, or something like, you know, and I'd be pushing myself to the max, cycling. And it would just be, I'd weigh myself twice a day and think, why? And if it went up, that would be that day written off. Or you come home, my wife would say, I thought we'd have some fish and chips tonight for a change. Do you fancy that? And this alarm bell would scream in your head saying, I can't eat that. You say to some friend's house in Newcastle and have like a big, their thing is breakfast. It's a big family breakfast. And I had one banana.
And did anybody notice? Did anybody pick up on it?
Well, they did then. But a lot of people said, okay, you've lost some weight, but I think it's time to stop now. And it was like, no, now you've said that. It's made me feel even more determined. You know, I want to get down to 10 stone.
Yeah.
You know, but I didn't realize I saw a picture of me the other day and I thought, what a poor lost soul. What a poor lost person sitting there. And my arms were thin. I got nothing across my chest. My shoulders were sticking forward. And I just looked terrible.
Yeah.
So,
Gosh, I mean, that is amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that. Because I'm sure there are going to be people that are associating with that. Because I can talk about an eating disorder and I'm a woman and people expect it. And, you know, but they also don't expect these things to happen later in life. They always think of teenagers and they think of girls. Yeah. They don't think of women or men then suffering later in life.
It's wanting to be, we all see pictures of people, you know, these people, we think, God, I'd love to look like that, whoever it may be. And the alcohol just completely tricked me, if you like, into thinking that that's, I wasn't thinking straight. I wasn't able to function and think on that level where, you know, I could put together an eating plan where you eat whole foods, make sure you have enough protein, then you won't feel it. We all know that, look at your diet. Eggs are full of protein. If you're two boiled eggs, blah, you won't feel hungry. And it was like I was eating the wrong stuff. I've always had a good diet, not then, but at home, we eat really well. We don't eat junk. I don't eat meat. I haven't eaten meat for 10 years. But it was just that brainwashed, you know.
Messes with your head, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Did you notice it just start to shift as the alcohol left your system, or?
Well, it's combined into, in the end, I had a bit of a meltdown, to be honest. I got to the point where something had got to give. It was crisis point. I was training as hard as I could train, drinking far too much. And in the end, I had a meltdown at work. I wasn't the manager. Fortunately, it wouldn't have mattered if I was, but I wasn't the manager. And I just said to my boss, I can't do this. And I had a bit of a proper amount of burst into tears in the office. And I'm not ashamed to say it. It was one of the side rooms. And we went, and he was really good. He said, look, it's okay not to be okay. He didn't really know what to say because it was like just out of the blue. And I went to the doctors and I asked to be put on antidepressants. I said, because I just cannot snap this mood. We didn't really talk about alcohol, which looking back was quite a surprise. But once I'd had that lift, and I did feel better quite quickly. That coincided with me giving up alcohol as well.
If you'd like to listen to the whole episode, then head back on your podcast timeline to the 12th of December 23 with Ian. And just to remind you, if you head to my website, louisaevans.com, you will find the Sober Resilience course, where you can use code RESILIENCE544 to get a massive 30% off. You'll also find a range of hypnosis recordings on so many subjects, from confidence boosting through to enjoying exercise or finding weight loss easy, alongside ones to support your sobriety. If you use the code SOBERREBEL, all one word, you'll be able to buy one, get one free on all of those recordings. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all of my guests over this last couple of years for their openness and honesty. And the podcast will be back in its regular fortnightly slot very shortly. Have a great day.